Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. Before King David died, he told his son Solomon, "I go the way of all the earth. Be you strong, therefore, and show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Eternal your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do, and wherever you turn yourself." That's recorded in 1 Kings 2, verses 2 and 3. King David of ancient Israel did set a strong example for his son Solomon. David obviously had his mistakes. He failed in child rearing in some ways, which is why his sons Adonijah and Absalom rebelled against him, which is perhaps why Solomon almost was a complete failure until the end of his life when it looks like he repented. And of course, David had his struggles with women. He certainly had to master the skill of repentance. That was a wonderful example that David set for Solomon, though. Also, David prepared abundantly to build God a house, a marvelous, spectacular temple. God didn't want David to build the temple because David had been involved in a lot of bloody wars. God wanted someone with figuratively clean hands to build his house. So David was allowed to prepare for that house, but had to allow his son Solomon to actually build it. Solomon was the temple builder. He had an opportunity to show himself a man by following David's example and David's counsel. And this is what Philadelphia Church of God Pastor General Gerald Flurry writes on page 174 of The Former Prophets, which you can get for free at thetrumpet.com. This was David's advice to Solomon. If you follow it, you will prosper and achieve astounding exploits. Obedience is the source of our strength. God tells us to do certain things, including building him a house, even in this end time. And simply because God said it, we do it. There's nothing else to it at all. If God says it, we do it. A huge part of David's admonition to Solomon before his death was just obey God, and you will be a marvelous success. Now, Solomon had a very strong start to his kingship, to his reign. His reign started out right because he was trying to follow his father's advice. This is 1 Kings 3. Verse 5 says, "In Gibeon, the Eternal appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.'" Verse 7, Solomon responds, "And now, O Eternal my God, you have made your servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Yes, Solomon was the king at this point, but he had a very low opinion of himself. in the right way. He wasn't just unnecessarily beating himself up. But Solomon realized he didn't know everything. He knew that he was inexperienced and would need help from God in this area. We all need humility for God to be able to use us in his work. This is a really great example for us. So notice, God had appeared to Solomon in this dream. God allowed Solomon to ask for absolutely anything. And here is what Solomon chose. 1 Kings 3, verse 9, "Give therefore your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this your so great a people?" Mr. Fleury has said that the greatest need in God's church today is godly wisdom. It is so easy to make rash, undisciplined decisions and then take the consequences of those decisions to God in prayer and ask him to help us escape the problems that we have caused ourselves. When really God wants us to go to him before we make our decisions to make sure that those decisions align with his law. Now, of course, God will help us deal with consequences, but why not go to God first and make sure that we have wisdom to make the right decision first and avoid self-inflicted suffering? Solomon asked for wisdom, and we all desperately need wisdom, thinking not like humans, but like God. God is the source of true wisdom, true discernment between right and wrong. And he also gives us the ability to do what is right and resist what is wrong. Solomon was set up well. He started out strong, following David's admonition to obey God. And then Solomon, when he could have asked for anything, asked for godly wisdom. Solomon had an opportunity to build for God, to do an awesome construction project. The temple anciently that Solomon built is actually a type of God's temple in this end time. A temple that is spiritual. A temple that is actually God's church or God's people today. Notice Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 19. "Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." That's Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22. God is using construction terminology. He's talking about a foundation, a cornerstone, a building fitly framed together, a habitation for God. But clearly, Ephesians 2 is talking about people. The apostles and prophets as the foundation, Christ as the cornerstone, the whole entire church or all the people being a building. And God can dwell in that spiritual building or that spiritual temple. Now, the whole reason this temple is fitly framed together is because God has given us his government and his law, government from the top down, where God uses one man to make the decisions. And of course, there is a lot of counsel that the one man seeks from other people. He does receive input from others, but ultimately, God gives one man the authority in his church to make decisions, including the decision to make God a physical house. You see God's spiritual temple, the church, has built God a physical temple in this end time. It is a literal building that plenty of people have come to. It's a building that is one of the most beautiful, if not the most beautiful, in the entire world. It's right in the middle of Oklahoma. It hosts all manner of wonderful concerts and events for the public. It hosts exhibits proving God and the Bible with biblical archaeology. God's spiritual temple, his people have built him a physical house in this end time. Just like Solomon built God a physical house thousands of years ago. You see, there are patterns in history that just simply end up repeating themselves because that's the way God does it. Solomon had 200,000 workers building the temple anciently. The most skilled laborers available on the planet, Mr. Flurry writes. Today, as Mr. Flurry explains, there aren't just a handful of thousands building God's physical house and God's work and God's spiritual house, because there's also an angelic army of millions on our side. So we don't just have 200,000 like Solomon did. We have millions building spiritually and physically today, doing God's work today. There are really a lot of building type terms in the Bible. Revelation chapter 11 talks about God measuring his people. He's measuring the temple of God, or the brethren of God in the church. He's measuring the altar, or the ministry. And then there are certain groups of people God will not measure because they will not obey him. God only measures through his government, with his law, people who will obey. If people don't want to be measured, they won't be measured. But then they also won't be protected or blessed by God. Page 178 of The Former Prophets, Mr. Flurry writes, "The saints who rise and measure now become pillars in God's future temple." Again, another building term, pillars. We can become headquarters pillars at New Jerusalem forever if we will obey God and do his work today. But the fact is, only a tiny few, one from a city and two from a family, scattered and very rare on the earth, as it talks about in Jeremiah 3, verse 14, only a very few will allow God to fitly frame us into his spiritual temple. You don't just see everyone out there striving to obey God and striving to be a part of his church and his work. We can be stones building that temple. We can be pillars in that future temple in New Jerusalem when God establishes a new world. There is a lot of building terminology in the Bible relating to God's people, relating to supporters of God's work today. Now, Solomon really built extravagantly for God. Solomon basically covered everything in the temple with gold. Notice 1 Kings 6, verses 21 and 22. "So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold, and the whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. Also, the whole altar that was by the oracle, he overlaid with gold. Incredible. You could really begin to see why the Queen of Sheba was left breathless and speechless and possibly even faint when she visited God's house. And really, a lot of people are deeply impressed in a similar way when they come to Armstrong Auditorium here in Edmond, Oklahoma today. It is a place that is obviously very physically beautiful, built with the finest quality materials and craftsmanship in the world. But on top of that, just think about the environment here on the Herbert W. Armstrong College campus. It's very well landscaped and organized and maintained. And above all, the people are happy. You see smiling faces. You see respectful, interactive young people who are actually able to carry on a conversation with adults, who are actually performing such awesome shows like Celtic Throne, which is really coming up very fast on the end of its summer tour right now. But there is one more show here in Edmond on July 7th in God's house, in Armstrong Auditorium, July 7th. You can get your tickets at armstrongauditorium.org or celticthrone.com. But isn't that amazing to people to come onto this campus, to go to Armstrong Auditorium, to see this world-class Kingdom of David and Solomon discovered exhibit in the lobby, proving that David and Solomon were not only real kings, but powerful kings, presiding over a mighty nation. In fact, even just yesterday, on June 30th, we had an exhibit celebration concert. Enon Barnaton on piano, Itamar Zorman on violin, and Amit Peled on the cello. These three men are some of the greatest musicians in the world. They also happen to be Israeli. And they haven't performed together in many years. They came together yesterday specifically for that concert, which was called Uncovering Greatness. That's what God's work is doing in Jerusalem today, constantly excavating absolute proof of the Bible, including proof of King Solomon, who built God's house. What a work we have the opportunity to be a part of. Solomon was deeply enthused by this opportunity to build for God. He staged a grand dedication ceremony. Notice this inspiring prayer from Solomon at this dedication ceremony. Eternal God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keeps covenant and mercy with your servants that walk before you with all their heart, who have kept with your servant David my father that you promised him. You spoke also with your mouth and have fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore now, eternal God of Israel, keep with your servant David my father that you promised him, saying, there shall not fail you a man in my sight to sit on the throne of David, on the throne of Israel, so that your children take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now, O God of Israel, let your word, I pray you, be verified, which you spoke unto your servant David my father. That's 1 Kings 8, verses 22 through 26. King Solomon really saw God's temple as just the continuation of God's covenant with David. God promised that David would have an everlasting kingly line, a line that would culminate in the return of Jesus Christ to rule from that very throne over all the earth, and eventually we would expand it into the universe as well. Solomon saw the significance of building a house for God and how it was such a vital part of God's master plan to really go out into the universe. But of course, Solomon had his struggles too. Solomon had his sins. He had his strengths. He had his weaknesses. He built for God the most glorious building that has ever existed on this earth. Today, we have an opportunity to build for God the most glorious spiritual temple, God's church, God's people, but also we are building God a very beautiful physical temple as well, or we have built that already. And we continue to build for God. We need to be grateful for the opportunity. We need to be unselfish and see how just glorious this opportunity is. Page 187 of The Former Prophets, Mr. Fleury writes, God wants to fill us with wonder at what he is accomplishing. Solomon saw the vision when he built God's house. We ought to see how blessed we are. And we ought to glorify God in these opportunities to build for him, to do his work, to show really God's way of life to all mankind. Armstrong Auditorium really is the crown jewel of the Philadelphia Church of God today. It is the greatest part of our work of raising the ruins of what God did through Herbert W. Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God. We have brought that legacy back to life, that humanitarian legacy, that legacy of give, that way of service and sharing. Anyone can see it at Armstrong Auditorium today, at God's house today. Notice page 196, Mr. Fleury writes, the directive to build God's house didn't come from this earth. It came from Jerusalem above, the mother of us all. That's referring to Galatians 4, verse 26. God commanded us to build Armstrong Auditorium to his honor and glory. And what an honor it is for us to do it. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.